We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Broads and Marcus Hayes in for the afternoon show live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Beautiful right now. People are popping in, getting their food, getting their drinks all fillied up. Ready to get another W at CBP. How about it? Let's take a look here at our Twitter poll before we get to the top five at five, which is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers online, marks-jewelers.com. So the Twitter poll is as follows, which I had up. Here it is. Did Kyle Schwarber's four-home run night move you, or are you too damaged from the Mets? It has been very consistent all program long. 51% of smart individuals are too damaged. 49% of people have been moved.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
I mean, it was 53-47 at one point, but it really hasn't wavered. How many people we got?
I think we are up to almost 1,100.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, anytime you get more than 1,000.
Pretty good.
Friday afternoon. Twitter poll.
That's right. All right, boss, hit us.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Buzz.
Oh, hi, beautiful five.
Pretty special game last night, I would say. You know, in terms of regular season games and recent Phillies memory, I was sitting going back and forth in the group chat of like where this ranks among best regular season games of the last 20 years. So that's what I'm going to do. Best regular season, and to be clear, again, this is best regular season, non-postseason or division-clinching Phillies games of the last 20 years. Because then, you know, like, you could just say all the clinchers at the end of the season.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
So games where champagne was not popped at the end of the night. We're going to play some really memorable calls for you here. Starting with number five, going to take you back a couple of years ago. Now, this isn't a game that aged especially well, because this guy really did nothing good in a Phillies uniform after it. But in the moment, that night, how special it was when Rob Thompson actually went against modern-day managing and allowed Michael Lorenzen to finish off a no-hitter just a couple seasons ago.
Against the lefty Smith, the 3-2 pitch, swing and a high fly ball. Center field coming in is Rojas. He's calling. He has got it!
Yeah!
Lorenzen leaps into the arms of Real Muto, and the Phillies pile out of the dugout. In front of the mound, they celebrate a no-hitter tonight by Michael Lorenzen. In his second start as a Philly.
Wow, that's a damn good call, by the way. Got some goosebumps there. I got to put my hand up. I will say, I did not expect Lorenzen to be that bad as a whole after they acquired him.
I did not expect Lorenzen to be in this list.
Well, me neither, to be honest with you. But, I mean, look, you got no hitter. It's a big deal.
I got no problem with it.
It's a big deal. But I didn't, because he came from Detroit. And when he came from Detroit, he had about a 3.5 ERA or so. And I'm thinking, that's fine to add to your pitching staff. And then he came here, he had that incredible moment. And you're right, Buzz, it didn't really age well. But I didn't expect him to have a non-competitive blow-up type of thing. And he did become useless.
Yeah, he really sucked. I mean, that was literally just about his only good moment in a Phillies uniform.
He has a 3.92 ERA since. Since he left,
yes. Moving on to number four, this is where I'm actually going to put last night. For anyone who's not heard the call, take a listen, and then I'll justify it afterwards.
Swung on, hit deep right field, and there's history for Schwarber. It's his fourth home run of the night as Kyle Schwarber becomes the first Philly since Michael Jack Schmidt to hit four homers in a game. It's a three-run home run that gives him 9 runs batted in tonight. The 21st player in modern Major League history to hit four homers in a game.
I just think hitting four home runs in a single game is cool. I think that's statistically and just like terms of rarity. I think it's way cooler than hitting for the cycle. I think, like, the anticipation going into that fourth at bat last night, even though they're blowing him out 15-3, post game's got Mike Schmidt on because it hasn't been done in a Phillies uniform since then. And Broads, you mentioned it earlier in the show. I tweeted out last night, there's been 21 of these ever, fewer than perfect games in baseball history. Pretty rare.
Yeah, and it's crazy because when you say that, not to diminish four home runs in one game, but when you hear perfect game, you think, yeah, there's no way that this even rivals a perfect game statistically. But it really does show you the insanity of that moment.
So I'm going to tout my colleague, Lachlan March, who covers the Phillies for us with Scott Lauber. She had two spectacular tweets last night. She's at Lachlan, at Lachlan. So two of Ed Delahanty's four homers. He's the fourth Philly to do it.
Which, by the way, is a record among Major League franchises.
Right,
no other team's had four.
Because there's only 21, right? That's astonishing. We're a franchise.
The Phillies own four of them,
that has not been very good with very many Hall of Famers. Two of Ed Delahanty's homers in 1896 were inside the park. One of them landed across the street in a flock of chickens. And the Phillies lost the game.
Oh, man. That's insane. That's insane.
Hitting four then home runs in a losing effort is nearly impossible.
I know.
Way.
So then she follows it. She quote tweets herself. Another Ed Delahanty fact for the Ed Delahanty fans out there, like Brody. Yeah. He died at the age of 35 under mysterious circumstances after his body was found at the bottom of Niagara Falls and the circumstances remain unresolved. Follow Lachlan March.
What is going on here?
Lachlan March. This is not you know, indicative of what Kyle Schwarber's future may hold. I'm just saying, those are spectacular tweets.
I mean, that's just...
Because you're speechless.
A little bit. I don't even know where to go from here. Buzz, take it away.
All right, we're going to go to number three. You know, Broads, I want to take you back to a happier time. When the Phillies and Mets dynamic was completely reversed. Let's go back to 2007. You know, the Phillies came back from seven games down, 17 games left to play. And although this was in late August, when I think back of that 2007 regular season, there's two games that stick out. There was the clincher itself, which I said was ineligible to be on this list. And then there was this game, an unbelievable comeback, capped off by a Chase Utley walk-off single to cap off a sweep over the Mets.
Line drive hit the right field. Here comes Iguchi. The throw to the plate. Great. Phillies win 11-10 on an RBI single by Chase Utley. What a huge win. What a huge series for the Fighting Phillies who sweep the New York Mets. Wow. Chase Utley delivers against Billy Wagner. And the Phillies have swept this four-game series.
That's all I need. Come on, am I asking for too much to have energy like that instead of dealing with the nonsense I had to deal with 3 days ago? Buzz, come on, man. What are we doing here? We're going to settle for getting swept in Queens, but we can have that energy.
Well, and I think,
what am I going nuts over here?
I think one of the things that also gets lost, because we now live in a highlight-driven era. You know, that clip gets shared every time the Phillies and Mets plays. People are trying to manifest good energy into the series. I think when we just share that clip, you kind of lose the sight of the fact that, again, the game was 11-10. The Mets scored five runs in the eighth in that game just for the Phillies to come back with a run in the eighth and two in the ninth. Like, it was an insane back-and-forth game that ended in unbelievable fashion, but the rest of the game cannot be lost in that one highlight.
I covered that game. I was the Phillies beat writer. I was a Phillies beat writer for the Daily News at that point, and The thing that made that moment, and people forget this, the thing that made that moment so special is that it was Billy Wagner. Chase hit
the Hall of Famer right there.
Well, Chase and Billy Wagner were teammates, but not buddies. Like, Billy Wagner was so disliked in the Phillies clubhouse that he would literally get dressed and go sit in the dugout before games on the road because they had so much time in a clubhouse together. So him doing that against Billy Wagner was mythical for the clubhouse.
Now that's the killer mentality. We have the killer mentality. Who's going to do that? You know, if there's somebody you don't like on the other side. Instead, I got to watch Bader and Francisco Lindor blow each other kisses after he gets gunned down at second base.
And there's a very real chance that Billy makes it into the Hall of Fame, which he has, and Chase doesn't.
You think J-Roll does?
I think J-Roll is the most deserving of that group.
I agree.
But I think Chase has a better chance.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Go ahead, Buzz.
We're going to go to number two. We're going to go back a decade ago. Now, if you remember, you know, one final start out at Wrigley Field in the Phillies' career of Cole Hamels. He ends it like this.
Hamels with a 3-2 pitch, swing and a high fly ball, deep center field. Herrera back on the track, and he, did he make the catch? He fell down and he's got it. He's got it. Odubel Herrera has got it, and Cole Hamels has a no-hitter.
Oh.
He falls down on the warning track. He's just now getting to the infield with a celebration. Continues for the Phillies. Cole Hamels has thrown a no-hitter here at Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Bad season, but a storybook ending to the career of Cole Hamels.
I got to tell you, man, I was so nervous watching that final play. Oh, man, I am just thrilled that it went the right way. But, man, could you imagine if it was a coin flip and went the other way? Oh, my God. Anyway, I thought that was obviously phenomenal to see Cole Hamels. You're right, though, Buzz. That was a disgrace leading up to that all year long. So we ended up having a nice hurrah towards the back end, but very non-enjoyable for the most part.
And kind of a weird, poetic changing of the guard.
It was.
Like, that was Hamels' last start. Aaron Nola made his career debut the very next day. Like, kind of just a really cool, when you look back on it, series out at Wrigley that weekend.
Yeah, two of the best homegrown Phillies pitchers in history.
You wouldn't know that, though, because most people despise Nola.
Right now?
Yeah, people do not like Aaron Nola.
Okay.
I don't agree with them. I'm a Nola's man, but there are people that think he stinks.
Okay.
I agree, Marcus. We both have brain cells. Number one.
And at number one, I mean, I think this is clear-cut. If you could be at any non-clinching, you know, non-postseason, regular season game of the last 20 years, a lot of people were not watching it because Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals was on at the same time. But down in Miami with maybe 8,000 fans there, most of them Phillies fans, this happened.
Back up onto the mound, tucks the baseball in his right hand, now into the glove. Holds it in front of the letters, nods yes, the wind, the 1-2 pitch, swinging a ground ball left side, Castro's got it, spins, throws, yeah. He got him! A perfect game for Roy Halladay! 27 up and 27 down, Halladay is mobbed at the mound as the Phillies celebrate perfection tonight in Miami!
Wow, I got the shiver down the back there, I'm not gonna lie to you.
And the crazy part is, that was the second best game he pitched. The first time he ever pitched in a playoff game, he threw a no-hitter.
It doesn't make any sense.
You couldn't sell the script to Hollywood.
It makes no sense.
They sign him. They trade for him. They extend him. He pitches a perfect game and a no-hitter.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall.
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's just ridiculous.
It really is. No, I had the goosebumps. His hairs are sticking up on the arm here. Yeah, that was something. That's a good number one. That was a good list there, Buzz.
I appreciate it. Thank
you. Okay, yeah, I was just waiting for you to make sure you said thank you. That's all. I didn't know if you were just going to go.
I appreciate it.
That's all. That's all. I just want to make sure we dot the I's, cross the T's.
So which one? So it was Halladay, Hamels, no hitters.
The Utley walk-off.
Utley walk-off.
Schwarber hitting four home runs.
Michael Lorenzen.
And Lorenzen.
Michael Lorenzen.
Yes.
For regular season moments.
For the last 20 years, non-clinchers.
Well, it's funny because
what about Bryce's grand slam against the Cubs?
It was a good game. I don't think it's better.
It's funny because Buzz, I think it was Buzz who told us that the four homer game is rarer than
the
perfect game.
Uh-huh.
And he ranked three no hitters and one perfect game ahead of the four homer game.
Well, two no hitters.
Well, no, the perfect game is a no hitter, right?
Yes, so I'm saying Halliday and Hamels were ahead of it. Lorenzen was behind it.
Yeah, actually, you know what? This list sucks now that I actually use logic.
I'm just saying. So you've got two games ahead of it when you said that this one was rarer.
Well, yep. Statistically, it is more rare. I still think it is more special to be at a perfect game.
And those carried other sort of tangential weight.
Yes, I think Hamels doing it in his final outing adds
again
to it.
You can't sell the script. It's too storybook.
Correct.
Right?
And the Halliday perfect game. I mean, as a baseball fan, the bucket list is crawl. I would, you know, if you told me that I could never go to another game again, and I had a chance to see a perfect game for it in exchange, I would make the trade off. Like, that's how. There's only 24 crowds who have ever done it, and there have been decades where it literally hasn't happened. I know the four home run thing. That's the case as well. But I think being at a perfect game, the build-up, there was suspense leading into Schwarber's final at-bat, or last, not his final at-bat, a second-to-last at-bat when he does it, and then his one final at-bat where he popped out. And when you have a perfect game and everyone is on edge for those final innings, and every single pitch people are, like, nervous, no one can stand it, no one's talking to the guy in the dugout.
It's different energy,
Different energy because, and everyone in the field knows they can't screw up either because errors would ruin it. Like, that's different energy for every single batter, not just one guy.
Back to your list being great again. That's a good point. Counter.
What if he hit five?
If he broke it with five, if he did it off the position player, but nonetheless still broke a major league record with five, I still think I would take the perfect game, but it would have been pretty cool.
It would have been cool, but I think it loses value with the position player. I thought he had the pitch, too, when it came in at 56 miles per hour.
Why would you penalize Schwarber for something out of his control?
It is out of his control, but sometimes, Marcus, life sucks. And for Kyle Schwarber, in this instance, life would just suck.
By the way, I know we got a 57-mile-an-hour meatball in that final at-bat. Did you see those two? I know it was earlier in the night, and we're all going to play the highlight of the fourth one. The two pitches he hit in those first two home runs were two of the biggest hangers I have ever seen in my entire life. Those things were curveballs that came in like, they dropped like a foot in right down the middle.
You hang them, we bang them.
Yeah, I truly feel if Kyle Schwarber was blindfolded and those pitches came in, he would have crushed them.
Yep,
he would have
sent them. Not have mattered. I mean, I know they were thrown by a pitcher, Quantrill, and then their first reliever, but you wouldn't. They might have been worse pitches than the position player.
The worst. His last name was Cox, right? He had seven earned runs in three innings or something. He might have been worse than their starter. That was a nightmare.
I mean, you're receiving innings at that point.
Of course.
Just say, hey, just end the game eventually.
Please, wave the white flag. All right, that was good. Good stuff, Buzz. All jokes aside, phenomenal. Let's go to the phones. Appreciate everybody waiting patiently here. Let's go to Ron in Pottstown. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, good afternoon, Brodes and Marcus.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Ron.
I really like this Phillies team. In fact, my favorite team of all time is the 64 team, even though they broke my heart. Richie Allen was my favorite player. And the thing that I loved about him is it's a shame kids today are people that don't get to see the ball leave the park like I had the chance with Allen. In fact, to watch him take batting practice was a thing of joy. And in Philly today, you can't see the ball leave the park. But the thing I like about today's team is Bryce Harper. I think the guy's great. And I think he's a good representation for fans. And Marcus relating about how he really cares. Being an older guy, you sometimes don't always see that in players.
You get sort of a mercenary kind of vibe from some players that go from team to team, especially when it's a big name guy.
Yeah, and that's a lot of it, Marcus. And to see someone that really cares and puts it all on the line, and I don't know. I look at his background. He's from an everyday family. I guess his father used to hang a rebar or something like that. And he just seems like he's from a hard-working type of family, and he really cares about it. It's nice to see someone like him.
And I think
lot of kids today don't have that same feeling about the city or about the people.
I think it influences the rest of the clubhouse, especially the younger guys. I think that Schwarber is a similar guy, and Trey's a similar guy, and JT's a similar guy. But it really resonates when the $330 million two-time MVP has that ethic.
Yeah, I do too. That's what I love about hockey players. They're from such backgrounds where they seem to really get it.
You should have seen Brody react to that.
Right. I think you're a very smart man. Thank you for the call. I agree. Hockey players are just phenomenal. Smart, it was like, intelligent.
It was like when the dog hears the whistle.
Yeah.
Your head went right up.
Yep. I went, oh, where's this going? Oh, they're tremendous. They're funny. They're, you know,
that's what everybody knows.
That's great. Yeah.
That's what everybody knows. Yep. Broads is 100% hockey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there was a time. My prime. I'll tell you what. The wife yelled at me the other day. She thinks the hair's getting a little too much. I said, I still got to keep something hockey
related. Hey, take off the hat for a second.
Well, all right, hold on a second. Here we go. What do you think?
That's fine.
Look at that lettuce.
Like if you had the if all you had was hat down, then it'd have to go. But you got plenty underneath your hat.
Oh, yeah, no, we still. Oh, trust me, I look at it every day and make sure I'm not losing.
Rogaine is your friend.
Because it's going to happen. Trust me, I see all the older gentlemen in my family. I'll be going Dr. Phil one day.
No, it's your mom. It's your mom's side. How does that look?
Not great.
Not great.
I love you, Grandpa. I love you, but we're not working well with the hair department over there. So there's no way I can, you know. So while I have it, we gotta let it rock.
Let it rock.
That's all.
Hey, I gotta say too, you got good lettuce. You got good hockey hair.
Thank you so much, Marcus.
Like some guys, like Hartnell. Could not pull off the hockey hair.
But
God,
it was a unique mop. That was a unique mop.
He looked like the kid from So I Married an Axe Murderer. Okay? So I'm just saying, some guys have it, some guys don't. You got it for them.
Wow. All right. Well, this is the best news I've could have gotten all show long, to be honest
nice
with you.
Hair.
Thank you very much. Everything else didn't matter today. My feelings about the Phillies, how much I despise them, losing in Queens, irrelevant.
Hey, you want to hear
I'm going to sleep tonight smiling.
Want to hear my hockey hair story?
Do I ever.
Okay, so I'm covering the minors in Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
And I had to go to the bathroom, and they practiced in the same
Is
arena.
Is that the Syracuse Crunch?
The Syracuse Crunch,
okay,
yeah.
Come on, man. So I know my minor league hockey.
I was the first beat reporter.
Wow, how about that?
I was covering the inaugural season. And so I had to go to the bathroom, and I was, like, downstairs. And I told the coach, just go in the locker room where the guys are. They're gone. So I went in the locker room. I come out. There's like two sinks covered with hair products, right? So kangaroo court, like if you show up late or you dog it or you give up a empty net, whatever, you put $1, $2, $3, it's minors, right?
Yep.
Their kangaroo court money went toward team hair products.
That's smart.
And it looked like a 1980s hair rock band student dressing room.
Oh,
it
the kangaroo court.
I had never seen Moose before.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first time I ever saw Moose. I was in there for like 10 minutes. And it was Jack McElhargy was the coach, right? Former Flyer. So I come out and he's like, what were you doing in there? I was like, I was looking at all the hair stuff. And Jack was not endowed with much hair at that point. He's like, yeah, these kids are nuts. We never did. It's like... It's ridiculous. It's off the chain.
I love it. No, that's great. The kangaroo court's bringing me back to when I was like, oh, what? I don't have $10 yet. Here I am. I got to throw all the $10 in. You know, get $10 now, what we do. Let's go to Aaron in PA. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I had an interesting perspective on the whole, you know, Eagles-Cowboys Micah Parsons thing. I've been a Cowboys fan for over 30 years.
Sorry to hear that.
You got in at the wrong time.
I grew up obviously in the glory days of the 90s.
Right.
Stuck with them and stuff, but the organization is disgusting. And I look at a team like the Eagles. My wife's an Eagles fan. I have friends that are Eagles fans. And you get jealous of how the organization runs and how they do it the right way and how Jeffrey Lurie is. Jerry Jones has been like this since the 90s. But it's been overshadowed in the 90s because he had so much talent on that team. But I also look at, too, with the Cowboys. The fact is they have talent at skill positions on that team, but they screwed up with giving Dak Prescott all that money. So they had no choice but to trade Micah Parsons. No choice.
Well,
it almost felt like a reset to me.
They certainly had a choice but to trade him had they done the contract both for him and CD and Dak when they should have done it. And you're right. It's
correct.
Jerry over and over again. Jerry Jones, the most important thing that's happened in the history of the NFL is the institution of the salary cap, right? So since 93-94, Jerry Jones's teams have been horrific in their build. I know they won some, and they won without Jimmy Johnson, but he's never come close to winning anything since the salary cap and the departure of Jimmy Johnson. Jerry Jones has been the biggest problem of any sports team in America for 30 years, and he owns the most valuable one.
Right. And like you said, too, you know, CD and Dak, They waited so long with Dak.
Yeah.
He's now what? He's the highest paid quarterback at $60 million. To me, he's not even a top 15 quarterback in the NFL.
But he's the number one quarterback in Dallas.
But he's the number one quarterback in Dallas. And it's a shame. I have been saying this about Jerry Jones. That team will not be relevant until he's done.
Well, it'll always be relevant. And thank you, Aaron. We're just up against it here. Oh. They'll always be relevant just because of how obnoxious he is. Like, they're not going to be irrelevant presence.
They'll be newsworthy, but not competitive.
Correct, yeah. Correct. I mean, in regards to people talking about them. And that's all Jerry cares about. From my perspective, I love
him. He really wants to win.
Oh, he does, yes.
But he really wants to be the reason why.
Well,
spectacular drafter and developer. His assistant coaches and his drafting and his scouts are really good, except he hires bad head coaches, and he doesn't know how to retain talent and create a culture.
Correct. He doesn't know how to pay them either right time and how you distribute the money. It all costs them, without a doubt. All right, 215-592-9494 if you do want to get in. Coming up next, we will continue taking your calls, and we will get into some leading off as well with the Phils Braves getting started at 6:45 down at CBP today. We are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. There is still time to book your fantasy football party at Chickies and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpete's.com. It's Broads and Marcus Hayes in for the afternoon show on 94 WIP.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.